What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jubin, and this is the show for the 26th of February, 2024. It's the last week of February. Ready to kick its ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? Happy Dune 2 week to everybody who celebrates. Got my Children of Dune, which has nothing to do with Dune Part 2. But a good book so far. Going to bring in my buds. We've got a lot to get to today. A lot to get to today. First up, Eric Siska.
I had no idea. I completely forgot it was Dunt week.
Dunt.
Yeah.
That's Dunt it up.
Dude. I'm pronouncing the two. Dunt.
Like it's two T's.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll be like I'm working Dunette.
On it. Dunette. That's Dunette. Good. That's good.
We're the Flannel Brothers today, dude. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Is he wearing flannel? I forgot to look. Steven Sadak.
That's more of a denim sitch, if you're looking.
Oh, am I a jaywalking right now?
What? Oh, what's the name of the vice president? Whoa.
I am devastated because I have to miss Dune this weekend because I'm going to a bachelor party in Las Vegas. So I'm going to be, next Monday, you guys are going to be all like Dune this and Dune that. Uh-huh. And I'm going to have to wait another
and you'll be
week.
Looking at different worms.
I hope not. I mean, it's the desert.
You're in the desert, dude. That's true. Honestly, that's true. Find, get out in like a morning or something. Sneak out. Sneak across the dunes, Vegas dunes.
I mean, like, there's a lot of things I could do in Las Vegas that'll get me divorced. But I think seeing Dune without my wife might be the first. That's the number one with a bullet.
Well, see, the trick is, dude. You yeah. find yourself a wife who don't give a fuck about Dune.
No, that's not fun at all.
Well,
good news. Whenever you want.
Good news for you in that desert, Steve. We know you can't walk with rhythm anyway. It's out.
That's true, man. They would never find Steve out there. You're Shy-Halud proof, dude. Mm-hmm. Speaking of someone who's Shy-Halud proof, Chris Cabin.
Famous 1980s movie quote that does.
Oh, now count. It's just not even literature.
And
it's,
are we doing? You don't know Jack at this point. What's happening?
Wait, what?
You're doing a crossword right now.
Crossword. You don't know Jack. What? What? Why? How dare you, sir? Crossword puzzle. You son of a bitch. You
so
Duco
next week. What is it called? So what's that thing called?
Sudoku.
You'll be reading Sudoku next week.
You didn't get it right again, but that's okay.
So never mind.
What's going on, folks, in the chat? Kevin Lynch, I'm So Rachel, Gary Miles, hello, Knowledge Junkie, like that, Nico Fish, Brendan, hell yeah.
Hello,
Jonathan Kidney Stone Siegel, that's pretty funny.
I saw some people in the chat earlier debating where we pronounce, because we pronounce daughter as dirter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Not from anything you're thinking of. It's from a casino commercial.
that ran in New Jersey and New York vaguely two summers ago.
Maybe I'll try to find it. We could do a half-second clip on next week's.
I will proudly run those fucking scumbag commercials on here. Absolutely.
Yes.
My dad gets to play in his pajamas at home.
They got a free buffet. You just go out there and it's free hamburger buns.
He used to have to wear a sports coat to go to the casino, but now he can do it at home.
It's all you can eat shrimp, but in your underwears.
And you know, honestly, it's better than the femdoms that he was into for a while. At least this time he can win.
We got a lot to get to today. We're going to be reviewing Driveway Dolls, looking at this Borderlands trailer. I'm excited for this, yo. We're talking to Brandon Streisning. This dude, good film writer. This motherfucker co-created the Vulture Stunt Awards, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking to him about that a little later on in the program. But first up, we got some birthdays here. And I'm going to start doing this once a week, celebrating a dead person. Okay. So today, Jackie Gleason would have been 108 years old,
but not. No, but not.
What if he had? Would he had that mustache still?
Probably. I'll tell you, there was great. Something I saw. It must have been because his birthday was, today and whatever. There was something going around Instagram, like one of those classic Hollywood photos accounts or whatever, and it's a picture of Jackie Gleason and Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
And I was stunned to read the caption that said Jackie Gleason and Marilyn Monroe celebrating at Jackie Gleason's 34th birthday party. Dude, he almost just looked like this.
Yeah.
Like, nice. I was like, 34? Please have a glass of water. No, no. Can't just be drinking ribs all day.
No, gin and ribs. That's your diet.
Great. Where the fuck this fucking happened again? I got to tell you, sometimes this system here pisses me off. I forget the photo, but I want to get the photo up for this one. He's the sweatiest man in Predator, Bill Duke.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Great director. Deep cover.
Great. Hell yeah. Deep cover. Yeah. Great movie. Another great action legend, of course. Mark Dacascos turns 60. Blues Brothers 2000's Erykah Badu turns 53.
No, come on.
No way.
Musician.
Amazing musician. But look. The four of us weren't in Blues Brothers 2000, all right? Somebody's got to take the credit.
You could say also What Women Want co-star, but that's no better, really, at all.
She was in What Women
Want. I'll tell you who I want. What Men Blues Want, Brothers 2000. I want that Erykah Badu. Yang, yang, yang. Get me Erykah Badu.
Who's on? James Wan, pins 47.
James Wan, 47. Great. Congratulations on living, and Jackie Gleason, congratulations on dying.
Oh, yes.
You're welcome. But yeah, we got a lot to get to today. Some interesting shit at the box office. Let's take a look. This is Highest Gross. I got to tell you something. It's a sad day.
Oh, no.
Sad Monday, you guys. You know why?
Why?
What's that?
After 10 weeks at the box office, Wonka out of the top five.
Wow.
Finally happened.
I thought I'd never see the day. I thought I'd be taking my grandkids to that movie.
When they remaster it in 8K, then you can. Then you'll be able to see it.
Which one's Wonka? He's the one at the top. Bet. Wonka's a jerk.
Yeah. But yeah, here we go. So number five, no surprises. Migration, still rocking and rolling. Now this is in week 10.
You're doing it.
With the $5 million. You migrating, dude?
I'm migrating, man.
Nice. Yeah. Looks like a sad version of the chicken dance, dude.
That's a yeah, they're not as lively as chickens, the ducks.
But here we go. This is funny. At four, Madam Web.
Wow.
Ooh, is a drop.
$6 million. It dropped 61%. This is on an estimated $110 million budget.
I was kind of curious because when I went to the Alamo, I don't know if I said this last week. There was a decent amount of people there, but it was an ironic. Like immediately, everyone was in. Out of it. So I was kind of curious if that was gonna like maybe carry it through.
I get some juice. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's probably 3 of the 6 million. Is maybe. That? I would
yeah.
guess.
Yeah, just joke screenings.
Opening weekend, my theater, 2 p.m. Sunday. I was the only person there.
Wow.
Whoa, that's completely empty. That's pretty bad.
But she couldn't see this coming with her powers, huh?
I think I really did. It's all for the conversation now. Like you're not seeing it going to see it to be like, oh, I'm going to be taken away into this wonderful world. It's so that you can make the jokes with everybody and get the memes and all that shit.
Well, luckily for Sony that anyone but you topped $200 million at the box office this weekend. So,
oh boy,
makes up for the huge fucking crater in their wallet that is Madam Web. Now here we go. That second round of Chosen episodes may have not done anything, but the power of the Lord
and
his fucking stranglehold on the box office is still real with something that was called Ordinary Angels with Hilary Swank.
This
is out from Lionsgate, $6.5 million. This is the same studio that did the Jesus Revolution movie.
Oh, Jack Reacher is a dad with like a sick kid or something.
Oh, so he takes over a hospital with a gun. Oh, that was John Q.
It's a different movie.
No guns in this movie, Chris Cavan?
A couple decades ago also.
It's interesting that Hilary Swank is now making movies for the people that would have assaulted Brandon Tina. That's it's great for her.
Exactly.
Let's go to the other side of the aisle.
I saw TV spot for this, and it does look like one of those movies that it's like, listen, my kid can see God and heaven and the future, and he needs your help.
I mean, if Jack Reacher is going to continue to suck, I kind of see why he's going this way.
Sure.
If you've been really let down
by the second season of that show, Chris?
I like Reacher as Reacher. I don't want him as part of the Avengers. I don't need that.
I agree with Chris. I mean, it's still watchable. It's still fun enough. You got Robert Patrick farting around, but
the move would
the first one was better.
If you're going to do an Avengers with Jack Reacher, you need like a really morbidly obese fat guy. You want a really short guy.
Yeah.
You want like a skinny, you know, you get Doug Jones, no makeup. Like, he's like the skinny guy. Then you've got all these body types. And now I'm watching it.
I love a short guy.
There's definitely a short guy there who has a family, but he does almost nothing. It's just not, but I, like I said, I think if he was also like, what? He's in the new Guy Ritchie. Like if he's just going to be an action guy, I see why he's going to start doing stuff like this.
Sure.
You got to fill out the resume a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you say, well, what do you mean by Avengers? It's not, he's not teaming up with other established properties, right?
One of them,
buddies.
Each one of them has like a specific power,
skills,
like
Okay, listen, imagine like Taken with Liam Neeson, and then it's like, oh, now it's Taken 2, and I'm meeting all the other Liam Neesons that have the exact same government training and. Yeah, so it's like him with
a giant team,
and I think that is a letdown.
And the team isn't like, they don't introduce the team in an interesting way where like each one of them has their particular like thing. Like none of them are as charismatic as he is, even close.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like, all right, he just has people around now. Fine.
I like the different body type idea that Steve had. That like you get a big guy, and then Jack Reacher can like roll him down a hill at someone.
Exactly. Now we're thinking.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Colossus throws Wolverine at something. You know, like those kind of fun team ups. In at number two, again, not The Chosen, but a different television thing that was tossed on screens, I believe, just for a weekend. Real mouthful of a title here. Demon Slayer: No Naiba to the Shira Training.
Yes.
Oh my God! You know
the name of this movie?
It probably smelled in auditoriums across the country.
Oh no!
Right? You think the Madam Web crowd smells fantastic?
There was no one there.
Well, I was vaping in the theater.
Sure.
Yeah, no, this is out from Crunchyroll, 11.6 mil, an R-rated anime adventure here, so hopefully it was violent.
It's very blood. I watched the first season of this.
Okay. This is a TV show that's in a theater?
And they also, well, they do like two episode arcs are in the theater as a movie. So like you get two 45-minute episodes essentially put together. Is this is the second or third time they've done, I think third time they've done this. I think the first one was like Mugen Train, and then they had the Sword Village a year or two ago. But it's been, I dropped after the first. It's a very rudimentary like anime. It's like a guy who's really good at swords and like magic abilities.
They're all like that.
Exactly. I mean, it's like very like the same thing you always imagine. His sister has been overtaken by an evil thing, but she can control it. He gets a team together. They fight against evil. It's a fine enough show. It's not the one I'd necessarily be like, hey, go watch this right now.
Did you like that team?
That team was good. That was a good team. Okay, good team, I got to say.
Now, let me ask you this, though.
Personalities.
Are you watching Japanese language track, or are you watching the dub?
I mean, a Japanese track every time.
Yeah, because I wonder if you're watching the dub, if there was anybody that had Steve's favorite thing. Hey you!
They do have
the general.
Get that Demon Slayer out of here! I don't need that Demon Slayer! Get him out of here! Oh my god!
You gotta
have
get
several characters like that. Several characters like that. They're not generals. They're like big muscle bound like super warriors. But like yes, similar.
Fair, you know, fair enough. Hey, bring those kids out to the box office. That's fine. The stats on that were it was unsurprisingly a male dominated.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? And then still sitting comfortably at number one, Bob Marley, One Love in week two, $13.5 million. Chris Cabin, you got a little capsule review of this guy?
It's very boring.
Oh, good.
That's the high. That's really, I mean, I give it credit for trying to pick one part of his life rather than go the full, like you get flashbacks back to Trench Town when he moved there, when he was a teenager, when he started working with Joe Higgs and Bunny Wailer and all them. But you, most of it is about when he got shot and the aftermath of that with the concert. And like, that's a cool idea, like to focus it all and try to give a sense of his life in this one moment. But like, it's very boringly done. It's kind of by the numbers. Everything is, it's not as, again, like, it's certainly better than something like Bohemian Rhapsody where they try to shove it all in there and it just kind of drains it all of any personality.
Let me ask you, Chris, a lot of music at least?
There is a good amount of music. Not as much as you would, again, like, not as much as you would expect. Like,
is the actor singing or is it Marley Dub?
It sounds like a dub.
Yeah. That's a hard one to do.
I'd prefer the dub in that case. Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
He tries to do his dancing, and that's not great either.
Well, he should be able to mimic him perfectly because he's a Skrull. So that would make, you know, all the sense of the world that he could just mimic him absolutely perfectly.
I mean, it's the guy from Barbie and One Night in Miami.
Yeah,
Kingsley Benadir.
I think that guy.
He's in that Secret Invasion. Yeah. That's what Steve's referencing.
Oh, he is one of the
absolute worst fucking Marvel things ever. You want to talk about boring? Let's have a nap contest. Who fucking falls asleep first? That show was terrible. And this reminds me, not really interesting to cover on like trailer segments, so I don't think we're going to bother. But when I was seeing Driveway Dolls this weekend, there was a trailer for this Amy Winehouse movie.
Oh, man. I'm glad we didn't cover it. I'm really happy we didn't cover it. Ooh,
does it look like dog shit? Like Lifetime television made-for-TV bullshit movie. Could not believe it. Could not believe it.
The doc did all you need to, if you want to see some, the Asif Kapadia documentary is very good. Go just see that.
It's really great. And you can watch her incredibly sad story that way and fucking move on. Yeah. Oh, God. But real quick, speaking of Driveaway Dolls, we'll do a little elsewhere at the box office because of the Patreon poll. Normally I wouldn't do this. This only charted up to 8 here with a paltry $2.4 million. Yeah. Another massive failure, one right after another from Focus Features. But our patrons doing the voting got it in just barely, 52% saying it would be still pretty okay to land 2 to 3.5 million, 2.4 just barely. It's a not great showing, and they paid $20 million to acquire this movie. So
it's weird. I mean, they didn't advertise it terribly well. I wasn't super aware that it was out this weekend.
Lot of people were saying that, and I think it's kind of funny because it was supposed to be out, you know, last September. So like July, August, when you were at the movies, you were seeing the preview for the movie, and then with the strikes, it got bumped back to now. And I kind of think just the buys were way less. Like I did see a couple of times in theater trailers after that, like in the run up to this actual release, I didn't really see anything on television. Like I don't want to say they straight out dumped it, cause that's, they did not do that. But like, I think the move really affected it. And if you're someone like, oh Lord, whoever has, Challengers, is that the name of the new, Zendaya, Luca Guadagnino movie? That's another one that was moved from the fall.
Yep.
You need to fucking get on the bullhorn. This movie still exists. It's back. Go watch that three-way in theaters. Yes, you know what I mean?
You have to do that. Otherwise, I'm thinking it's about the goddamn space shuttle explosion.
No, you can watch. There's some Netflix thing that I saw. I didn't watch it, but I swiftly passed by it. That's like the Challenger, the final mission. And I was like, why? Why on earth would you want to watch that?
Tell me about the first. Tell me about the first one, okay? You know, what about the better times?
Good one.
Think about the good times.
Exactly. That's what's going on at the box office. Kind of a not great week, but you know, we'll see what happens. Dune 2 coming out, going to be a big week. And also, as far as family stuff, I think it's like 2 weeks till Kung Fu Panda 4.
So finally, Migration might leave the top 10. Finally.
It just might.
Prediction. Kung Fu Panda 4 in the top 10 box office for the rest of the year.
Wow.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We'll
I would
see
take that bet.
All right. So, I don't know. We'll see what's going on. Speaking of coming attractions, got to keep your eyes peeled. Got to keep your eyes glued to those release dates. stuff moving around here. But something we're going to talk about right now, the new one from Eli Roth. I think it looks kind of fun. We'll see in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. Yeah, so this is the new one from Eli Roth, y'all. It is the adaptation of a video game I know nothing about, Borderlands. Anybody playing Borderlands? You playing Borderlands, Chris Cabin?
I have not played any Borderlands. I hear it's fun, though. Mm-hmm. I hear it's a lot of fun.
I never heard of it, but here we are.
A lot of you're shooting people. I'm sure if I played Borderlands, I'd get shot immediately and be called God knows what. Like, yeah, I'm out.
Slur McSlurface. That's what you'd be called, dude. People in the chat, you watching this? Are you playing this Borderlands? You know what this music's all about, or what?
I couldn't tell from the trailer, which I did watch. Is it aliens or is it post-apocalyptic or what are we doing?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
It's got in- it.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe it's a bit of both there. It kind of looks like it could be that way.
And everything, it looks like a good trough. Like you throw everything in there and you just go hog wild.
Yeah. So here we go, folks. Watching along at home, if you are inclined to do so, in the episode description we have the link to this Borderlands trailer. This is out wide August 9th here from Lionsgate. I mean, I gotta say, if this is a success, Lionsgate's got kind of another, you know, big notable franchise on its hands here. So I guess we'll see. But this is the trailer, Lionsgate Movies YouTube channel official trailer, so you know it's going to be the real deal. And that means Chris Cabin coming with a trailer before the trailer.
Love it.
So get ready. Get ready. So here we go. Queued up here. The Borderlands trailer is going to start in 3, 2, 1, go.
You know, it is surprising. It's shocking that this is Eli Roth. It really, we're just doing James Gunn, right?
Yes. I mean, this is very Guardians.
Like Lawsuit Town.
Yes.
Jack Black voice in a robot. All right.
Kate Blanchett kind of having the Cherry 2000 hair here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good call. Legend has it that there's this. Yeah. All right. So that's space. We got. So okay, that's got to be aliens. Yeah. This is a they show you too much. Oh, Mystery Mobile. Look at
that. They show you a ton.
You know, I like that Jamie Lee Curtis can do a silly thing like this.
Sure. Maybe she'll ask for this too. Just keep giving it to her.
Wow, Steve Zadek still burned by Everything Everywhere All at Once last year.
I love that movie. I think she doesn't deserve an Oscar for it. It's fine.
See, the thing I'm looking at here is it's fun.
Yeah.
But you got Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I don't know what my tolerance level for Kevin Hart these days.
I agree with that, but at the same time, I think this he looks the best here than he's had.
Yes, I agree.
That's true. Yeah. Who's this big muscle-bound fucker with the mask on?
No idea.
No.
I guess my question would be, do we know what this is rated yet?
That's a great question.
This is an R with, like, fun Eli Roth gore.
I would bet PG-13.
Then it's something worth watching, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about, like, killing people and body parts and whatever. True. I would hope it's, you know...
Bloody. I need a little blood here.
Yeah.
Why is the one girl doing like a Louise Belcher rabbit ears thing?
Great question.
It's character? I don't know.
It's doing it for somebody. That's why.
Claptrap. I don't know who Ariana Greenblatt is.
She, at the very least, I was looking her up. She was in, she's a kid actress that's kind of coming up.
Okay. A lot of cool looking guns. I mean, it is James Gunn.
Well, especially with the music.
Is that Edgar Ramirez as the villain, maybe?
Yeah, he's one of them.
There's a couple shots of him.
See, now this is where it's too much. Do not show people this. Do not show people this moment of your movie.
Yeah.
Right.
No, don't.
There's the ending.
Yeah. We'll all see this 40 times before August, and when it happens in theaters, no one will give a fuck.
And yeah, it is just so James Gunn-y, and you got to take out the music at least, or
up it up, like do grunge or something.
Yes, you know what I mean? Change it up.
Well, this tune is the one that they use in like every trailer for an Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, another director was borrowing heavily from people last year with a certain movie that came out. So if this is borrowing from elsewhere as well, but maybe it's better.
Are we not allowed to say
Rebel Moon? I'm sorry, Rebel Moon.
Okay. Yes. All right. That's fair.
I mean, like, I'm right now, I like Eli Roth as a director because Thanksgiving was really...
Hey. Yeah, a lot exactly. of goodwill on Thanksgiving, absolutely.
Thanksgiving, though, that did regenerate as an actual genre guy. That re-energized my like for him for a little bit.
It
here,
it seems like he's trying to make movies that people like for the first time.
Yes, yes. And like, and that's the thing is that he always had that style with him, but he just didn't. It was always under all this torture stuff. Uh-huh. Like, there's elements of Hostel. That like are interesting. It's just that he's so obsessed with the torture of it that all the interesting stuff goes away. But like, if he's just going to use that those like stylistic ideas he has for something like this, mm-hmm. I'm kind of into it. And that's what Thanksgiving felt like, was him being like, I'm just going to be a director and give this some flavor, something that would otherwise be kind of trash, like straight to streaming on Shudder. Like, this is actually going to have some flavor to it, and it does. It does. To this day, it does.
Yeah. Well, so we shall see. But by the time this comes out in August, of course, we'll have already been on our little trip through the South. We're going on tour starting in April, guys. Can you believe that shit?
No.
That's very soon.
Oh, my God. I got to get my shoes on.
First up, the 425. Five, is it? Yes.
Oh, yeah,
we are in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to the City Winery there. Classy joint, y'all. Talking Gamer, the Gerard Butler action movie.
And, you know, our show might not be appropriate for you to bring a nice date to, but the venue is, if you want to risk it.
Sure.
It's got a good menu, good libations.
I don't see this one getting too disgusting. Although, who knows?
You wanna...
We're dealing with our guy, so who knows?
Yeah, I'll make sure it's disgusting.
Not a lot of sex stuff in the gamer universe, as I remember it.
There will be sex stuff at the show.
By the way, look what you're doing. This fucking challenge accepted shit that just happened right here.
Fucking challengers right here.
Maybe that was my idea.
And then in May we got two spots in the Lone Star State. We're hitting up Space City.
Yes.
514. We're talking RoboCop 2. Now this is at the Houston Improv, which, you know, we like playing the improv chain, but never been to Houston. This is our Houston debut. Pretty excited about that.
Excited about this. You got Frank Miller doing a polish on the screenplay. You got the director of Empire Strikes Back. Oh my God. Yep.
The villain is under 12 years old. Love that.
I love that. Right?
It's great. It's fucking great. Ed 209, of course.
Uh-huh.
He's still
floating. He goes back.
He comes back, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Probably. You can't
Or
keep
it's like
away.
RoboCop 2 is the other thing. What's the big mechanical
Kane.
Nemesis?
It's Tom Noonan as
Kane. That's hot. Now I'm mixing up movies.
Brain put into a Monstar that has robot parts.
Right. That's what I'm thinking of. And then the very next night, we're going back to Austin. First time in 6 years we've been back there. A WLM, All About From Dusk Till Dawn at Cap City Comedy Club. Also have not been there. Pretty excited about that.
Very excited to get back to Austin, Texas. It has been too long and we miss you. Come out.
That's right. Come on. Come on to all of these shows. All three are going to be fantastic. In Atlanta, we haven't been there in the better part of a decade, 7 years. So that's going to be great. Head over to our website, whmpodcast.com. Click on that tour tab. All ticketing information is there. And someone was asking something about meet and greets. Yes, we're doing meet and greets. They are the highest ticket tier. Whatever that is, that gets you the meet and greet. All right. So I know... just me and Chris Cabin.
Oh yeah,
I think saw this guy. Did any of either of you see it?
No, Steve? I drove away from it.
Look what you did there.
Yes, look what I did.
You did there. Chris Cabin. I'll let you go first here, man. And your thoughts on this movie? I think you liked it a little better than I did.
I like the vibes. I like that this movie feels. It feels like it's culling from very specific kinds of movies. I thought about like the more sex positive sexploitation movies of the 70s and early 80s. Also, like early Jonathan Demme comedies. That is a very particular flavor that I don't see often. Mm-hmm. And that energized me. I wanted to watch it. I was never bored with it. The story is terrible.
It's awful.
It is awful. So bad. But also, and I actually wouldn't have minded, like, I'm used to zany plots in like certain Coen Brothers movies, so it wasn't like completely out of left field. But a bigger issue, I think, I like her usually. Margaret Qualley, the tick, the way she talks, is everything about the character.
It's annoying.
There is like you don't really get any sense of what she believes otherwise, or who she is otherwise. It's just this tick, and like having this like way about her where she's talking about all the people she's fucked all the time, and like how she like has this rambling world view of life, and like, but none of it like feels real. It just feels like she's saying stuff to have that as a weird affect. I like the rest of the cast. Bill Camp has a funny like two scene bit.
Bill Camp's great.
Who you saw? You probably saw most of it in the trailer, but yeah, I as a movie, it doesn't really work. Like, it didn't come together. It's not very satisfying in any way. But I do the flavor of it did at least make me happy that something like this exists, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that it exists. I'm happy that it got a theatrical release. I just don't think it works at all. I think Qualley, they were like, hey, go watch Raising Arizona and Hi, the Nicolas Cage character. That's you. Just do that. And that's really the vibe. And I found it kind of distracting at times. I think, you know, the supporting cast is better than the main cast. And for a movie, that's a problem, especially when it's like the two of them on screen for most of it. And then all these other like disparate supporting characters that you're like, I kind of just wish, you know, I wish they interacted with Coleman Domingo more. Coleman Domingo is fucking wasted in this movie. Like, he's kind of the villain, but not really. And then when you realize like what the whole full story is, it's just a real shoulder shrug of a joke. I did not laugh at all about what was in that briefcase. So, like, all of that stuff, it just does not fucking work. And let me tell you the thing that shoots this movie in the foot. All of these like really bad, like kind of psychedelic animated transitional sequences that go for like, some of them felt like 1 to 2 minutes at a time before you get to the next scene. And like all told, it's 84 minutes. Mm-hmm. And every time one of those things comes up on screen, you can feel the movie pulling itself across the feature length finish line. You're just sitting there like, there's no movie here. There's so little movie in the movie. It just was driving me fucking crazy.
The trailers reminded me of like in the 90s with the all the offshoots, the knockoffs of Tarantino stuff. Yeah. It just looked out of time.
It's not as like snappy and death obsessed as those are. It's the sex stuff is more of what it's about. It's very much trying to get that like, I'm trying to think of a good, like, the only one I can really think of is, like, The President's Analyst. It's, like, these, like, hippie movies. Like, where like, oh, man, you got, like, free love, and it actually matters, man. Like, stuff like that.
Sure. Okay.
Like, that is the tone they're kind of going for mixed with, like, early Demme. Like, it's kind of inexplicable, but I'd be interested to see what they do next. Ethan Coen and his partner who wrote it with him. I'm forgetting your name right now. But the actual story just didn't work for me. Like, and I'm usually one who is like, I don't care about story if everything else works. This one specifically didn't work for me.
I might see it this week at some point just to sort of keep on top of stuff. And I was interested enough in the trailer, but
yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's sort of watching it kind of confirmed my worst fear from the trailer, which is, to me at least, it plays like, and you know, I guess this is pretty ironic, but like it plays like a movie from the 90s where not Tarantino, but someone was like ripping the Coen Brothers off. Yeah. It feels like a knockoff Coen Brothers movie.
Yes.
And that super sucks. You know, it's not really distinguished. Like, it has all like the Coen comedy and like the morbid relationship of like comedy to violence, which is great. But you can see where like my man needs his brother and they need to just, you know, you leave them on their own. One gets too serious and one gets too goofy.
Yeah.
You put them together. Now that's the movie.
I love that Macbeth. I love
it. It's fucking great. Yeah, it's but yes, it's just like, good. It was so like,
yeah,
you Stark made this. You
yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
So that's what this feels like, but in the complete other direction. Yeah, I don't know. Will no one save Curly is the line of the movie. Bill Camp has the line of the movie. Yeah, and there's some cameos that are just like, I saw some people like, yeah, I loved it because of those cameos. Absolutely not. Just a waste of.
It's fine.
A waste like, of everyone's time. I Steve, honestly, I would say you'll be fucking renting it soon enough, man. I don't even need to race out to the theater. that's just me. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But yeah, you know, I guess light recommend overall for me because I can see people liking it. It did not work for me overall. What's going on in the chat? A couple of people saying they sort of were digging it. A lot of people still wanting to see it. You know, that's you know.
Oh, we should say that the co-writer is Trisha Cook.
Yes, Trisha Cook. Partner and I mean, that's, I guess, another thing, too. Like, if you wrote a script 30 years ago, maybe kind of, like, punch it up.
Dust
it
off. Yeah, exactly.
It did feel a little like, all right.
Maybe more than 80 pages.
Was there a newer draft here somewhere? But, yeah,
the one thing I am not going to knock this movie for is being short. That is the one thing. Please, more 80-minute movies. Pile them in.
Make an 80-minute movie, sure, but, like, don't pad that shit with really bad transitions that it's like, didn't you think it was so obvious, Chris? Like those things just keep going and you're like, what is any of this for other than to kill time?
I mean, it's to me, like, cause it does add to like the, we're doing drugs and having sex all the time. Right. Everybody. Like there's this vibe to it that it matches.
But no one's doing drugs in the movie. There's no psychedelia in the movie.
I mean, they're all, I mean, the one guy's high in the, well, I don't want to ruin it, but the one guy is very high in the flashback.
So the one thing for the dude that's in the movie for 67 seconds,
that's what the transition's about, the character. Well, like I'm trying to not talk about the one I know cameo. I know.
Like, fellas, it sounds far that out. It sounds like a far out.
Yes, that is the point.
Yeah, whatever. So yeah, see at your own will, Steve.
We'll find out.
Risk. But Brandon's here. We're going to bring Brandon Streisling in. His camera's not on, though, so we'll have to see about that. Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. Look at him. He's being coy. All right, Brandon, welcome to OSL, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
nice to meet
long
you.
Long time coming, yeah, nice teaming up guys with you, man.
For sure.
Yeah, Brandon, so, by the way, I think your Twitter account is what got me to watch all those Scott Adkins movies, so thank you.
Me too.
Either you're welcome or I'm sorry, because there's like a very high ceiling and then the drop off. Right. Like,
well, it's pretty mostly positive.
Yeah. He's never the thing that's wrong with the movie he's in, but he's in a lot of crap.
Occasionally he's really the reason. Like I recently watched, because I think it was your recommendation too, Brandon, was One Shot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just wonderful. Those are
a lot of fun. Yeah. Every time he's American in a movie, I'm just like, just let him be British. Like, the accent's not really working here.
Yeah, right. Really. Yeah. Unless it's like super important to the character or whatever. Is that a franchise where the sequel's better than the first one? I've heard some people saying that.
I like the first one more.
I think the first one's better. Yeah, the sequel tries to go bigger. The problem with the sequel, and like not to get too much into it, is the actress playing the villain is like one of the worst actors I've ever seen, and she's all over the movie. But
yeah, Andrew, you might be thinking about, I was always saying Ninja 2 is better than Ninja 1.
You know what? Yeah, there you go. As soon as you said it, I was like, wait a second. Yes. So Brandon, March 4th, so a week from today, the second annual Vulture Stunt Awards are being revealed. The winners are being revealed. Tell us a little bit about how this fucking great effort, I will say, came to be, my friend.
So I guess 2 years ago now, at the end of 2022, Bilge Abiri, who's like one of my friends, he had messaged me on Twitter out of nowhere and was like, hey, Vulture wants to do this thing. Are you interested in basically running it? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, it kind of blew me away because I was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought it sounded exciting and didn't realize it was going to be like 6 months of me sending emails to people and having those people respond to me like, who are you? Why are you talking to me? but yeah, they were just, I think there's been like a push over the last however many years for a stunt Oscar. It hasn't really been going anywhere. And so Vulture was like, let's just do something of our own. And so the first year, Bilga and I kind of ran it together, and it was like this small scrappy thing. We got a few filmmakers on board to be part of like the voting body. Like I think you probably know this best, Andrew, because you took part in the nomination process this year. But basically we reach out to just people all over the industry, whether it's like critics, filmmakers, stunt people. Stunt people are who we try to get the most, and just tell them what we're doing. And there's like a first wave of nominating, a second wave of voting. And last year we had about, last year we had about 90 something people. This year it's like close to 250. So it's really cool it's like blown up so much. But yeah, it's been kind of fun to see it grow.
Brandon, on that, when you're emailing stunned people, higher than average at AOL addresses on there.
There's at AOL a ton of Hotmail.
Sure. Nice.
I think
granddaughter set it up. I don't know what's going to happen.
There is one guy who's very old, and he was supposed to take part in a bunch of our like meetings last year on how to set this all up. And every single time I'd get an email from him, like an hour later, like, hey, I'm in the room. Can someone let me in? And it's like, buddy, that was like 2 hours ago.
Oh, no.
Every single time.
It's incredible.
So this is year two of the awards. So very well received last year. I remember, you know, just reading so many people just like, this is great. We need this kind of stuff. I mean, because let's face it, the Oscars, they were just like, oh, 2 years from now, we're going to give out a casting Oscar. And I was
couldn't
like,
believe that shit.
What the fuck takes so long? What are you talking about? Just make the category.
Make the stunt category. Even if you want to give it out at the technical awards and don't have these leather faces up on the podium, that's fine too. I would rather them be part of the ceremony, of course, but you've got to recognize this. Falling through a chair and stuff like that. That is art. That is an achievement. Give it an award.
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things I ran into last year, and I'm not going to name the filmmaker because I don't want to out him, but am I allowed to swear on here?
Don't
fucking worry about a thing.
So he's a filmmaker I like. He did a sequel to a beloved Spielberg franchise recently, and we reached out to him a few years ago to be part of this, and his response kind of illuminated something for me that I think might be why there might not be a stunt Oscar. Is he said, I don't want to take part in this because I think it'll cause stunt people to go bigger and bigger to try to get an award and hurt themselves. And it kind of pissed me off because I felt like that was a little demeaning. It's like you work with these people, you know, they're not idiots. Like,
they're still professionals. I mean,
you can still direct them.
Safety first every time.
And so I don't know. I relayed that to a few stunt people, just asked them if they thought that was the idea. And none of them were happy about that. Didn't tell them who it was, obviously, because I don't want them to, you know, lose any work.
But I'm not working with that fucker.
It has to be in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing a fight scene, it's like, what if I lit myself on fire? Well, that's not in the movie, Frank. So we're not going to do that today. I don't know.
I want to see him get lit on fire.
Yeah.
but you know, something else that you pointed out though that I think is kind of interesting, and that's where, you know, these stunt awards come in, is like, what would it mean for the Oscars to just, you know, give out best stunt, you know? And that's what I think is great about what you guys have here. There's so many categories built into the stunt world, you know, best stunt in action film, a non-action film, best fight, you know, best things with guns, best without. So like, talk a little bit about creating, like, what was the overall amount of like categories you were thinking about throwing out, and like, did you have to whittle that down a lot, or how did that work?
I think the idea just came from the fact that there's such a diversity of stunt work. And so it is hard to just pin down, you know, like if you were to go best stunt, for example, like if there was a Sun Oscar this year at the Oscars, I feel like John Wick 4 could take up like 4 out of the 5 slots or however many nominations there would be.
Right.
So you kind of want to spread the wealth a little bit. And so we kind of tried to narrow it down to like best fight. We had to make clear that it had to be with a weapon, but not a gun, because there's shootout and everything like that.
Right.
But so that was like kind of tough whittling down, because it's like, well, what constitutes like, because, you know, like John Wick has a lot of like fighting and then guns are involved. It's like gun kata basically. So it's like,
yeah,
those parameters were kind of tough to nail down. But I think my favorite category of the last few years has been best stunt in a non-action film, because the nominees are so bizarre sometimes. Like this year, it's like No Hard Feelings and Bo is Afraid and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. The final like football field scene from Bottoms, which is great. Probably the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Then like shit you wouldn't think about, like Iron Claw. But yeah, of course, the wrestling montages in that. Yeah.
Can I recommend a category if it doesn't exist yet? Most surprising use of a stunt double, because sometimes you'll see like somebody getting out of a car and you're like, why the fuck is that the stunt double? And then you cut back and he's like either the guy wasn't available that day, or he was just too chicken shit to literally get out of an SUV like that.
I'm going to note that down, because that's great.
I mean, it's dangerous getting out of a car. You could trip, you know, like if you don't take the belt off the right way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bro, I could step wrong out the SUV and break my fucking ankle. No way.
Can I step out of a car? Yes, I can. But if I do, delays the production.
That's my whole career there. Trevor's going to get my Papa John's.
I'd hope that, you know, now that he's staying prayed up all the time, that he's, you know, maybe a little more bold. He has God on his side.
That's right. Yeah, I can jump off this building. I got Jesus holding me.
Yeah, I think he just gives blessings to all his bodyguards and stuntmen that follow him around everywhere, do everything he needs to do.
I bet you know what, Chris Cavan, that reminds me. I bet you anything, he's a dude who, like, he's not frocked at all, and he's fucking just doing this to people.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
So he's throwing out the blessing maneuver there when he should not be and has no business doing that. Absolutely.
No, it's all right. My piss is technically holy water. Let me put a little on you.
That's what happens when you work with Mel Gibson. You're ushered in. Yeah. You know?
What I love about it too, dude, you have stuff from like all over the world, which is really great. You know, it's not just Hollywood movies. Tons of stuff like I have not even heard of, which is very exciting, because I'm sitting here like, check this. Okay, make sure you see that, etc. Who do you think right now, like whose film industry is doing the best, most innovative stuff with stunts right now, would you say?
I mean, it's definitely easy to say anywhere in Asia. I mean, like, especially, you know, the last 10, 15 years, like Indonesia has been really killing it. I don't know how much this year, but last year, France really is surprising me. Sorry. Oh, okay. I don't know if that came over my mic, but people were beeping. That's fine.
Someone's doing a stunt out in your apartment.
But France, the last few years, it's weird. Netflix has like a wide variety of really great action movies from all over the world that just people don't know about because Netflix doesn't talk about them. But France, like, there's these two French movies called Lost Bullet, and the sequel just has some unbelievable car stunts that look like,
oh,
like really great, like Fast and the Furious level stuff, but like I can't imagine it cost anything.
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, like it's hard to pin down. Like I would say, honestly, you know, I hate to be, you know, like go America, but the last few years, I feel like we've gotten a lot better at that, because I think we were signed kind of like in a little bit of a rut with just like superhero movies being like the only action movies or movies trying to be superhero movies. And I think John Wick and the Mission Impossible movies have really kind of helped that. And it's been kind of nice to see us get a little better at action again.
Was there stuff that you were watching where it was like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, this could be a stunt that's nominated. And then you look and it's like, oh, all of that was like, it turned out was bad computers. Like, was there anything where you were like, oh, fuck, CGI?
Well, that's a good question, because like we've had a lot of trouble, not trouble. We had a lot of trouble with like figuring that stuff out. So we brought in somebody who does a lot of CG work in movies, like to kind of help us figure that stuff out. So for like the first year, best or explosive moment, I think, than it's pretty sad. I don't know the names of my own categories, but explosive moment. Batman was one of the nominees when he's like walking away from the car and you know, it explodes and everything. I thought that was all digital. And I spoke to, we brought in our CGI guy. And he's like, no, most of that was real.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been kind of fun figuring out like what isn't CG, what is and everything. And I think that there's kind of been like a melding of the two, which is interesting. Like one I would have never thought about is like Way of Water 2 years ago had a ton of real stunt work because it's all being shot on a soundstage and they're still doing stunts, but I just never would have thought of it because it's all computer.
Yeah. It's been interesting, especially since last year saw everybody go crazy about RRR, that India, like this year, I felt like I saw three major ones at least. I wasn't as big on Pathan as everybody was.
Really?
But I love Jawan, I think, is incredible.
Jawan's great, yeah.
Were you able to sneak Rocky and Ronnie into this somehow?
No, I wanted to, because that was one of my favorite movies this year, but I think I was the only one in our nominating committee who saw it.
What? God, no, God, everybody, go to Amazon right now and see Rocky and Ronnie Love's. It's got Indian titles, but it's Rocky and Ronnie's Love Story is what it's called. It is incredible. And like the movement they get this guy to do in this movie is nuts. And that,
wow.
To that point, like, I think that is a film, a filmmaking culture where I see digital and actual stunts really working hand in hand all the time, like in constant flow, as shot to shot and just moving. And I don't complain because it is so good together. Like, I'm not a guy saying no CGI ever. I'm saying use it when it's needed.
Right. Like if you're like an RRR where you're throwing tigers at people, you might use a little CGI. A
little CGI.
But Black Widow, when they're in a bar sitting next to each other, there should be no CGI in that shot.
Yeah. Well, Chris, impossible, Steve. How can you make a movie with, sitting at a bar without CGI?
I'm glad you brought up RRR, Chris, because I can't believe that slipped my mind, because that was actually an interesting thing. Is like that opening, I thought most of that movie was CG, and that opening intro to Ram Charan when he fights like 700 guys in the beginning of that movie, I thought so much of that was CG, but they spent like, I think they spent like 100 days shooting that scene alone, and that's like all extra work and everything.
Holy shit.
That like, rules. I think that movie was like a 300-day shoot, which like is nuts.
that's incredible.
You
know, I guess like the blending of it, you know, that's going to become just as important, you know, as stuff keeps getting, you know, more advanced with computers and everything. Like, you know, one of the things that's nominated for Best Vehicular Stunt this year, is probably the best part of Fast X, the Rome car chase. And in that, there is a bunch of like computer shit kind of flying around, but it's also a really solid car chase. So yeah, I guess it's kind of like being able to parse out. No, they're still definitely doing stuff here. Like it's not like Expendables where we all just rented the same, like one fake army utility vehicle and it's a bad green screen. Like this is real stuff. That's just, it's blended better.
Some people were voting for the Expendables and I'm just like, what are you doing?
I cannot believe the snub of Expendables 4.
I'm surprised people saw that movie. That's shocking.
Seriously. So, you know, you got the lineup this year. Stuff's being announced. The winners are being announced next Monday. But what are you looking forward to this year? Like, what's some shit coming out that you're like, oh, that might be nominated Stunt Awards 3? Like, what's coming down the pike that you're psyched about?
It's funny. My editor and I had like a long discussion about this the other day over Zoom because we were trying to start talking early about next year and we were going through all the movies. And there wasn't, at first, it wasn't anything jumping out at me too much the way like a John Wick or Mission Impossible would. But, you know, of course, there's Furiosa, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And Monkey Man looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
That looked incredible. Yep.
I think you guys were kind of mixed on The Beekeeper, but I think there's a like really great fight at the end of that movie.
Yep.
That's probably going to slip my mind by the end of the year, but I've been trying to keep notes of every action movie I see this year just to remember, because it's like hard. But yeah, Furiosa, Monkey Man. I just saw a trailer for one with Bill Skarsgård that looks kind of fun. I think it's called Boy Kills the World or Boy Versus the World or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just came out. It just like this past like Friday, I feel like it came out. Yeah.
yeah, that looks like a lot of fun.
And we'll see about the TV movie Roadhouse as well.
God damn, dude, you're just trying to get my blood boiling all over again, aren't you?
And what, there's like six Scott Adkins movies coming out that I'm sure some of them will be good.
That seems like a light year for Scott Adkins.
He keeps us well fed. I love that guy.
There's one I want to shout out just because it's like DTV All-Stars. That sounds exciting. It's him, Marco Zaror, Daniel Bernhardt. I don't know if any of you know him. He did double work in a lot of the Matrix movies. You would know his face if you saw him. Uh-huh. And Dave Bautista's in it. He's like the lead. And,
nice.
And I like that. WWE wrestler Drew McIntyre is also in it. So I'm very excited for that one. I think it's called the Killer's Game or something, but that sounds like it's going to be very fun.
I'd like to watch Bautista just tear shit up a little bit. I love to watch him act, obviously. Like, I'm glad that he's more of an actor now. And obviously, he's an older man, yada, yada, yada. But I kind of want to watch a dude tear some shit up.
Right. Just like split someone in half and drink their blood.
Exactly.
I don't know, Steve. Have you seen these trailers for Ricky Stenicki? I think John Cena might just tear it up a bit and have a hell of a time with the fights.
What is this? I don't know this one.
It's a comedy where he plays an actor who has to play a fake friend of a group of guys. And his name is Ricky Stenicki.
It's Peter Farrelly's follow-up to Green Book, FYI.
Yes, just of course.
The long-awaited.
The quality is back. That's what we were waiting for. Brent, do you know Highlander, the new Highlander, is not happening this year?
No. I think it is going. I think when I spoke to Chad, I interviewed Chad Stahelski last year for John Wick, and I think that was the movie he was out scouting when I talked to him.
Nice.
But nothing had been confirmed at that point, but I think it has been confirmed, but it's probably, I don't think it's even started shooting yet, but I think Cavill is confirmed for that, which I like Cavill well enough. I don't know. We'll see.
I think he needs a hit, and I just, you know what I mean? I don't think the Superman movies did him any favors.
No.
Like he's doing the movie a favor by doing his best, but they just,
he's a good Superman,
right, guys, we need him to tank his career so much that he's doing DTV action movies for the rest of his life.
Look, what do you think Argyle was? What exactly would you call Argyle other than that, a bombing of your own career?
a lot of stunts in Argyle. Chris Cabin, your favorite movie of this year so far?
There's like a couple action scenes, but they're not like, it's lots of cuts. You're cutting everywhere, so the actual choreography doesn't come through. So it didn't stick with me. If there is stunts in there, I didn't like hit me.
Gotcha. So we do have to start wrapping up, but Brandon, so next Monday, 3-4, the winners are being announced. How are you guys doing that? Is it a written piece? Is there like a video presentation, or
it's a written piece? I think I don't want to say like for sure, but I think there is going to be a little bit of a video component this year. But what I'm really excited about, and it's kind of lame, like I was hoping I could say more. I talked to my editor before coming on here, but she told me not to say too much, but it's expanding into like something pretty huge this year. The awards are just going to be a small part of something bigger, which I'm really excited about. There's a bunch of like running parts or whatever. It's all vague speak. That's kind of lame, but there's going to be like a huge just thing that we drop on the 4th, which I'm really excited about.
That's awesome, man. People just be able to go to Vulture and find that on Monday.
Yeah. There's a, if you Google Vulture Stunt Awards, I think the top link is just like the hub where we keep everything from the last year, this year, things like that.
Nice. All right, man. Well, listen, best of luck with round 2. Already looking forward to round 3. Have us back on the selection committee. We will nominate some shit, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But thanks for coming on, dude. Where can people find your work elsewhere before we let you go?
I'm all over the place, mostly with Vulture right now, but I've written for Fangoria, Polygon, Inverse, a whole bunch of places. Taking a long break after the 4th, though.
Makes total sense. You will have earned it, my friend. Well, thanks so much for coming on, dude. Come back anytime. Honestly, we'll have you on the podcast sometime, ripping a shitty action movie or something.
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks so much for having me. This is really fun.
Awesome. Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right. Have a good one.
Later, man. I'm fucking pumped for that, man. Yeah, whatever that tease was, that's going to be great.
I didn't ask you, are there statues? Are there little statues? Ooh, I didn't want to ask. Yeah. I didn't want to put them on the spot for the statues. Little statues.
They're little statues that fight each other.
Right? It's a little small statue. It's a little like guy in a wheelchair with his arm in a cast. But that's going to do it for this week, gang. A lot of stuff covered here. But a lot of stuff to come. If you're catching up from last week, by the way, we did drop the Melro 210.
I love that screenshot of Jane with the dress. She is really mad about it.
It's pretty great. This was some sort of Fox promotional photo, dude. It was like very high res, which you normally do not get with the screen grab.
It had to have been sweeps week. I will bet my next paycheck to the sweeps.
Oh, shit. Cat fight plus pool. Yeah, it's sweeps week.
That's some good action, folks, if you want to take them up on that bet.
Yeah, that's actually true. No stunt doubles there. Those actresses were going in the water. But really cool. Tomorrow, We Hate Movies presents Leprechaun 3. Really great. We're welcoming back our friends James A. Janisse and Chelsea Rebecca from Dead Meat. Here we are having a fucking ball recording that episode. But that's going to be out. Very excited about that. It's finally a Leprechaun movie that I enjoyed, which is nuts. But, you know, I guess whatever. Third time's a charm. Add the sleaziness of Vegas. There you go. If you want that sucker ad-free, you can get so on the Patreon at the $8 level and up. Where this week also, on Thursday, which is the last week, it's a leap year. Do you guys know it's a leap year, by the way?
No.
It's a leap year.
No idea.
29th.
Shouldn't there be a horror movie out right now called Leap Year?
I know, but instead the Nexus will be coming out on Leap Day, talking about two, I have to say, pretty good episodes of Star Trek. It was a nice convo. Very difficult for us to sort of figure out which one was better. So very cool with that. And some big news here for Patreon subscribers and those who are about to subscribe.
Huge news, folks.
And Patreon curious.
Wake up.
And the Patreon curious, that's right. We're just going to tease it because we're going to tell you what it is next Monday here on Screen Live. But we have a new top-tier Patreon show that we're going to be announcing. And Philippe Sobrero, of course, our artist in residence, our main man, the mad scientist of promo logos, has a new thing out. We're very excited for this. Teasing it. We're going to blur it out here. I know, I'm a real fucking jerk, but this is the logo. Next week on Screen Live, we're going to tell you what that show is. We're very, very excited about that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But until then, we hope you have a great week. Tune in next Monday, 12 noon. We're going to be telling you what the show is. Again, super pumped for this, folks. But that's it. Have a great week. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Adios, folks. Bye-bye.